Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. I'll be sharing from the passage of Scripture, the portion listed as being chapter 5. So beginning with what is listed or referenced as being chapter 5, in the book of Daniel, the book of the prophet Daniel. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing, And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Tikal, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, returning to the beginning of this passage in the book of the prophet Daniel. Which is listed as being chapter 5. I've mentioned before, probably too many times, but it is not uncommon for passages to be out of order. You could say out of place, out of sequence, not chronological. And that is the case with this one. But beginning at the beginning of this passage, nonetheless. Belshazzar, the king. Belshazzar, his name is remarkably similar to the name given by Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel of Belteshazzar. Same name except for T-E is inserted between Bel and Shaz for Daniel's name. And it's according to the gods of Nebuchadnezzar and the gods of Belshazzar. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. You know, it's like some fancy dinner party for 1,000 of his closest friends, right? 1,000 of his closest VIPs, advisors, counselors, and what have you. 1,000 of his lords. As we read on, we hear about others who are present there who seemingly are not included within that 1,000. His wives, his concubines, his princes. And what are the princes? Are the princes sons? Or are they, in fact, other brethren and so forth? Well, Belshazzar, the king, he's not a prince. He is the king. Nebuchadrezzar is no longer king. But there is the little question of whether Belshazzar is actually the son of Nebuchadnezzar, variously also referred to as Nebuchadrezzar. God uses both variations for him. It's just a difference of one letter, N or R. But there is the question, is Belshazzar the son or is he the grandson? And there are scriptures which lead me to conclude he is, in point of fact, the grandson, even though he is referred to time and time and time again as the son. The queen refers to him, seemingly, as the son. He himself seemingly refers to himself as the son, and Daniel seemingly refers to him as the son. Well, that would, you know, seem to pretty well lock it up, wouldn't it? And yet, we have scriptures from the Lord God Almighty that attest to the little matter of God speaking of Nebuchadrezzar, his kingdom, and that of his son, and that of his son's son. But by the time we get to the end of this passage, the Babylonian Empire has been overthrown. So the only way that could be fulfilled would be if this was the son's son, the grandson. But I digress. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. And drank wine before 1,000. What a role model. Okay. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, while he is drinking, imbibing, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. And so here we have an additional attestation or testimony that Belshazzar is the son. This is neither from Belshazzar nor the woman identified as the queen nor Daniel, but another attests to this, if you will. The golden and silver vessels. Let's not make the mistake of assuming this means that vessels are made of both gold and silver, the same one and the same vessel. No. There are golden vessels and there are silver vessels. There are not vessels that are both gold and silver. They are one or the other. He commanded to bring the golden vessels and the silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. Which, of course, was destroyed. Now, Nebuchadnezzar removed these vessels on his first foray, if you will, into Jerusalem. He was a newbie king, Nebuchadnezzar was. And he invaded the Holy Land. He invaded the kingdom of Judah. He invaded Jerusalem. And amazingly enough, he allowed the king and his royal family to remain in power, Jehoiakim. He removed the golden vessels, the silver vessels from the temple. And of course, he required the king to obey and to serve. But as we know, that did not happen. But there was King Josiah, who was the good and godly, righteous, courageous, faithful, honorable, noble king, even though he had a wicked father, and even though all of his offspring were wicked, and even though he became king while he was a child, a young child of 8 years of age, by the age of 21, after reading what the Lord God Almighty had attested, had witnessed, had testified by Jeremiah, his faithful, courageous servant, Josiah became a godly king. But with his passing, things changed drastically. Whereas he had brought about reformation, godly reformation to wicked Jerusalem and the wicked kingdom of Judah, but particularly wicked Jerusalem and surrounding. No sooner was he dead than that changed. His son Jehoahaz, who was only 18, became king. He was deposed by Pharaoh of Egypt after 3 months. And strangely enough, Pharaoh saw fit to elevate, to promote Jehoiakim and rename him Jehoiakim. And it was only a short time thereafter, a few years, that Nebuchadnezzar inherited the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire and he invaded. But again, instead of destroying Jehoiakim and all of the royal seed, he allowed them to stay in power, but he took the golden vessels, the silver vessels from the temple, and he required Jehoiakim to obey, which he did not. But now, Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king, but son or grandson. And even though there is the little matter of the history of what transpired during the kingdom, the empire of Nebuchadnezzar, this offspring, Belshazzar, is just oblivious to it. Nebuchadnezzar was not a good and godly man. He was a heathen, pagan, despot, tyrant. But nonetheless, God managed to get his attention and got him finally, grudgingly, to obey, if you will. And on a later invasion of the Holy Land, the temple was destroyed and burned. The king's palace was destroyed and burned. All of the houses were destroyed and burned. The walls of Jerusalem were torn down. It was all destroyed courtesy of, thanks to, the wickedness, again, of the offspring of godly Josiah, of Zedekiah, who was renamed by Nebuchadnezzar, Jehoiakim, who had been renamed by Pharaoh. Their wickedness resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem. But the golden and silver vessels had already been removed from the temple. Brazen ones were in their place and they were removed. But Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson, Belshazzar, ordered the golden vessels, the silver vessels to be brought, the ones that his father or grandfather had taken from the temple. And they brought them to him. And he drank out of them. And his princes, whether they were sons, brothers, brethren, the princes drank out of them. His wives drank out of them. His concubines drank out of them. His thousand lords drank out of them. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. All manner of false gods, like the image that Nebuchadnezzar had cast and erected in the plain of Dura, massive golden idol, 6 cubits by 60 cubits. Which he required all of his lords to worship or to die for failing to do so. But here, his offspring, if you will, son or grandson, Belshazzar, leads all of his lords and wives and concubines and princes and drinking wine from these vessels and praising these false gods. These inanimate gods, these non-gods, these idols of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. And in the very same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Not even a hand, but the fingers of a man's hand. And wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall, or plaster if you prefer, upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Rather remarkable. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. This is something that he saw, and the writing remained when the part of the hand disappeared. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, his deep, deep thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. They will fix it. They will solve it, just like they always fail to do. The king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, these are the wise men, the astrologers, the stargazers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the liars, astrologers like the astrologers of today, astrology. Yes, read the stars. Tell me what is what. And all of this gathering of wise men, so-called, astrologers, the Chaldeans, who are the most influential of the wise men, and the soothsayers. The king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. What is very interesting, noteworthy, is that while the king provides the carrot, the bunch of carrots, offers great reward, tribute, honor, power, prestige, position, riches, he does not threaten the wise men with destruction. Unlike dear old benevolent, beneficent Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadrezzar always did. Threatened destruction. No. He only encourages, offers promotion, wealth, position, prestige. The kinder, gentler approach. Surely that will work. One would think. Then came in all the king's wise men. This is very strange. It's out of order. Okay, the wise men already came in. The king cried aloud to bring in these wise men. So seemingly they would have been there when he made this offer to them. But the way it's written here, the king spake, it says he spake and he said to the wise men, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. But then it says, then came in all the king's wise men, which is, again, this is out of sequence. This is out of order. This is just, oh, well. But all the wise men, they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. As was the case during the reign of his father or grandfather, these lofty wise men are found failing yet again. Fascinating. Whenever God shows up, whenever God communicates, all of these wisest of the wise are completely, utterly, totally incompetent and helpless. Fascinating that in this day and age, this enlightened, knowledgeable, sophisticated age of today, in which the exceedingly intelligent, knowledgeable people are so much wiser and more knowledgeable than to believe God Almighty and His Word, they can believe astrologers. They can believe cult leaders. They can believe Muhammad and all manner of lies and abominations, anything but God. They can believe psychics. It's amazing. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him. Well, his countenance was already changed, right? I mean, up above we have the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. And so now again, the king's countenance was changed. That is curious, but his countenance was yet again changed yet again, even more troubled, perchance, even more astonished, even more. And his lords were astonished. All of these brilliant people, these knowledgeable people, these intelligent, illustrious, high and mighty people, who were so knowledgeable and so intelligent, so brilliant, that they all praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass and iron, of wood and stone, and celebrated and reveled in it. Now the queen, not to be confused with one of Belshazzar's wives, not to be confused, of course, with his concubines, but not to be confused as being one of his wives, his myriad wives. This is the queen mother or the queen grandmother. The queen. You recall the king, he offered that whosoever should read this should be the third ruler in the kingdom. The third ruler. There's the king Belshazzar, and there's the queen who is not a wife of his. The queen mother or queen grandmother. And then there's the third ruler. If there is to be a third ruler, he offers to promote one to be the third ruler. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, their screams and what have you, which must have really been a din, because the queen wasn't there. But by reason of what she heard, the clamor, not just the drunken celebration, not just the drunken revelry, but the fearful screams and what have you. She came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. That refrain that we encounter time and again. But here she tries to calm him down. Tries to assuage him, to comfort him, to calm him. O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. It's already been changed twice, but there is a man in thy kingdom. In thy kingdom, not my kingdom, thy kingdom. In whom is the spirit of the holy gods, plural. So she worships the gods as Nebuchadnezzar, her hubby, did. Even after another incident, he still worshiped the gods, the holy gods. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father. Again, her husband, whom she is honoring. But whether it was Belshazzar's father or grandfather, not entirely clear. But whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So now we finally have mention of the magicians. Now back earlier in the book of Daniel, there was one place where, again, the wise men were called and where the Chaldeans weren't mentioned, even though they were the numero uno of the wise men. And here the magicians were left out initially. In terms of mention. But they are part of the group of wise men, magicians, so wise. For as much as an excellent spirit was found in this man, knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. He was promoted to be master of the magicians, of the astrologers, of the Chaldeans, of the soothsayers. He was promoted because he delivered. He told King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was that he couldn't remember. He interpreted it for him. And then again, later, interpreted another incredible vision, dream from God, that again, the wise men were completely unable to know the first thing about. Completely stupefied, completely astonished. Daniel delivered. And so he was promoted to this position. And yet, as he was promoted to be over all of the wise men, and promoted to be over the affairs of the province of Babylon, he deferred such that his brethren, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, should be over all of the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then they were later promoted above that, of course, after Nebuchadnezzar failed to murder them all. But let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Even as all of these wonderful wise men, or their fathers or grandfathers, failed time and time and time again, so too Daniel delivered every time. Call him. No need for you to be horrified, terrified, paralyzed with fear. Call Daniel. And he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry? Yes, I mean the terminology here, the children. Daniel is well along by now, but that nonetheless is a description. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. A virtual verbatim repetition of what the queen, mother or queen grandmother, has told him. And now the wise men, oh, they're so wise. The wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king. And there's nothing said here as to whether the queen waited around to see this. We don't see anything more, hear anything more about the queen mother, the queen grandmother. Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Daniel was the furthest thing from a hireling. Unlike so very many high and mighty ministers, pastors, self-professed prophets, and what have you, here in the Western world, in the free nation, so-called, in the United States of America, Daniel said, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another. Promote somebody else to be third ruler. Yet I will reward thee, in a manner of speaking. I will do what thou requests of me. Why? Why would Daniel? I mean, there was no stick here. It was only carrots, right? None of the wise men were punished for failing to deliver. Daniel did not tell Belshazzar what was what so that he could receive anything. But he interpreted the writing on the plaster because it was in service to God Almighty. It's what God required. It's why the writing was sent. It's why it was written. It was so that Daniel could interpret it, so that Daniel could speak forth this prophecy to King Belshazzar, which should be extremely quickly fulfilled. I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, all people, all nations, all languages trembled and feared before him. That is an exaggeration. No, brother, it's inerrant, it's infallible in the original words. It's an exaggeration. All people, nations, and languages within his empire trembled, and those on the immediate periphery of his empire trembled. But the peoples beyond, they were aware, I'm sure. But they did not bow down. They were not within the confines of his sphere of influence. He had a vast empire stretching from the Mediterranean Sea to what is referred to as the Bay of Bengal, the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Sea. From Egypt, from North Africa, across the Middle East, across Central Asia, into India, a vast empire. A vast number of nations, of countries, of lands, of peoples, of languages. But not all peoples of the earth. But all of those people within his empire, they trembled and feared before him. Doesn't exactly speak of benevolence and beneficence. Here, Daniel is speaking glowingly of him and yet speaks of all of the subjects of Nebuchadnezzar trembling and fearing before him. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he had slain, slaughtered, murdered. as he attempted to have done to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and then whom he later attempted to have done to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But whom he would he slew and whom he would he kept alive? Well, he didn't keep Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah alive when he had them cast into the furnace. God kept them alive. He didn't keep Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah alive when he sent the captain of the guard to slay them. No. To murder them. No. No. No, if super powerful, mighty Nebuchadnezzar had had his way, Arioch, the captain of the guard, would have slain, murdered Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and then would have gone on and murdered, slain all of the brethren of theirs who were brought out of captivity, and all of these wicked wise men. Nebuchadnezzar did not keep them alive. Daniel did. Daniel did. God enabled Daniel to keep them alive. Not only to keep Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah alive, and all of their brethren that were also brought out of Jerusalem, Judea, at the same time, out of the kingdom of Judah with them. Seed royal, princes, and so forth. But also to keep alive all of these wicked wise men, so-called wise men, whom he would he set up? Well, he set up Daniel, and Daniel deferred and had him set up Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah instead over the province of Babylon, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then he would later elevate them even higher after he attempted to murder them and was unsuccessful in doing so by having them cast into the furnace that was overheated 17 times. Whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, when his spirit was puffed up, lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart, his spirit, was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew. 7 times, not 7 days, not 7 months, not 7 seasons, but 7 times, 7 years, he experienced this. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that God Almighty appointed over it, appointed over the kingdom of men, the kingdoms of men, whomsoever he would. And thou, his son or grandson, O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart, thy spirit, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy 1,000 lords, thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. This is a very strange line of scripture. To me it is. I'm sure there are myriad illustrious, brilliant theologians who would say otherwise. But the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways, whose are all thy ways, as if Belshazzar's ways were the ways of God, or as if God's ways were the ways of Belshazzar? Hardly. God forbid. This heathen, pagan, despot king, playboy king, his ways are the furthest thing from God's ways. God's ways are the furthest thing from his ways. It's one thing to say that God Almighty holds him, if you will, in the palm of his hand, that God Almighty keeps him alive, that he only stays alive by the mercy, the grace of God. But to say that his ways are the ways of God, or God's ways are his ways, or whatever is being said there, is incredibly, intensely strange. But it is what Daniel uttered, but it is not true. Again, Daniel erred on the side of being diplomatic. But he's about to get less than diplomatic. He's just almost there. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways. That is just so wrong. So terribly wrong. Again, I know, incredibly sophisticated, intelligent, illustrious theologians will tell you I've got it wrong and what God really means there, what Daniel really meant there, and ad nauseum. But it's wrong. And what he gets right is most of it. And thou hast not glorified him. Then was the part of the hand sent from God. Daniel didn't see it. Daniel wasn't there when it was sent. Daniel wasn't there when it wrote on the plaster of the wall. And yet Daniel has seen it all from God as if he were there. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, from God, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Strange wording there. This is the writing that was written. It's almost as if there's no sign of it anymore. Right? It's almost as if, again, this hand is no longer there, this part of this hand, these fingers are no longer there. So the question is the writing still there? And it may not have been. The writing may have remained behind while the part of the hand, the fingers, disappeared. Or the writing too may have disappeared. The way this is written, the way this is communicated here, it's not clear. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, from God, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tikal, Upharsin, all of it in caps. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And interestingly enough, Mene was repeated. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Again, all caps. You know, by online netiquette, that means shouting, you know, like me, but this is God shouting. And now it changes. Instead of Upharsin, it is Perez. Why did Daniel change that? Mene, Mene, Tikal, Upharsin. He interprets Mene. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And it was repeated. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. But now instead of Upharsin, it is Perez. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Perez, Upharsin. Assuredly, they are referring to one and the same thing. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. It doesn't explain how this transpired. Was it a case like that of the king of the Assyrians? Who was murdered by a couple of his sons? Or is this referring only to the lightning blitzkrieg invasion of Babylon by Darius's troops in the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire? Again, Daniel has prophesied, thy kingdom is divided, not just overthrown, but divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So you would think, okay, part of the kingdom is taken by the Medes and part by the Persians. And yet, then we read, and Darius the Median, the Mede, the Median, took the kingdom. Not part of the kingdom, not a portion of the kingdom, but the whole kingdom. He took the kingdom. being about 62 years old, about 62 years of age, at the time that he overthrew the kingdom. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians, but initially, Darius, the godly king of the Medes, the Median king Darius, takes the kingdom. Through process of time, it becomes the Persian kingdom. But this interpretation by Daniel was fulfilled instantly, or the next thing to it. Belshazzar was slain that night, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. We're not given any further description than that. But interesting, Daniel has refused the riches, has refused the rewards. But Belshazzar, he insists, he has Daniel clothed with that robe. Well, they just put the robe over whatever he was wearing, hung a gold chain about his neck, and proclaimed that he's the third ruler. All of that would have taken 1 minute. Not only did Daniel not ask for it, he positively refused it and said, give it to another. Give it to others. Let thy gifts be to others. Let thy reward be to another. Thy promotions. This is from long ago, you know, antiquity. Oh, brother, that is so arcane. What does that have to do with the price of eggs? What does that have to do with me prospering and flourishing and thriving? Oh, brother, I just love the preaching of my pastor, of his mega church. Oh, and it's just so wonderful, and, you know, we just are prospering and flourishing and thriving, and all of the messages are just so thrilling and inspiring, you know. Only God inspires. But interestingly enough, the dealing here with Belshazzar, was actually more severe, rightfully so, but more severe than God's dealing with the terrible, wicked, evil offspring of King Josiah. And I think rather strangely so in that regard. But Belshazzar did offend deeply, greatly. We view things differently, so differently from God. God's ways are higher than ours. Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, they reinstated the practice of murdering the children, burning them to Moloch, to Baal, having the Sodomites take over the temple, murdering the true prophets of God, and or attempting to. and bringing about the complete, total destruction of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah, and the death of the overwhelming majority of the people, and the enslavement of the rest. Belshazzar, what did he do? He partied hardy. And he drank out of the golden and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. And he praised false gods, idols, within the same breath. And we may look at that and say, well, you know, as terrible as that is, that doesn't seem as unspeakably, horrendously terrible as what Kings Jehoiakim and Zedekiah did. But, and God said that he visited Zedekiah in his captivity in Babylon. But what application does this have to us? Surely, I mean, this has nothing to do with the United States of America and the Western world. This has nothing to do with the modern, contemporary, sophisticated Christian church. Surely, nothing. Except that the United States of America and all of the free nations, all of the so-called democratic nations, all of former Christendom have corrupted and debased themselves, perverted themselves, degraded themselves, dishonored God. The leadership of all of these nations are at war with God and have been. Are involved in corrupting and perverting the children from the youngest of ages. Promoting the most depraved wickedness and perversity. The Babylonian Empire was the greatest empire on the face of the earth. The sole world superpower, you could say. The richest, the mightiest, the vastest. And God overthrew it with the greatest of ease. Oh, but that could never happen here. We are God's chosen. Not the Jews, but the Christians. We are God's chosen people. We are the apple of his eye. Oh, when we get together and we worship, you know, in our shallow, superficial, materialistic excuses of mega churches and multi-campus churches and all the rest. There are godly pastors. There are godly congregations. And there are a great many that are not. There are utterly apostate denominations. There are denominations that were created specifically to be abominations to God, notably the Metropolitan Community Church, so-called, to champion sodomy and all manner of depravity and evils. God is long-suffering. God put up with Belshazzar for some time, you know. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways. Oh, yes, oh, brother, we just have the most Wonderful worship. Oh, it's so anointed. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving. Oh, it just moves through. Oh, it's glorious. While the evil goes on, while the babies are slaughtered, while the children are corrupted and perverted, and while the unspeakably evil leaders use taxpayer funding to bring about turning little boys into little girls and little girls into little boys. In the free world, in the democratic world, in the Christian world, no harm can come to us. Well, the Babylonian Empire was overthrown with the greatest of ease and the greatest of swiftness. Way back in the day, you know? I mean, way back in the day when it took a long time to move an army. It took a long time. You know, there were no nuclear weapons, no nuclear payloads that could be delivered ever so quickly. Back in the day when advanced weaponry was spears and swords and catapults, back when mobilizing an army, that took a while. Moving an army took a while. And yet, this largest, this most powerful, this richest empire was overthrown with extreme swiftness. It could never happen today. No, brother. No way. Certainly not. And certainly not to such a godly nation as the United States of America. Certainly not to the godly Great Britain and European continent and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. Certainly not. We ignore the Word of God at our risk. We do not ignore God's word with impunity. We do not. We can ignore it, but not with impunity. We can ignore the judgment of God that has fallen upon his chosen people, the Hebrews, the Jews, in the kingdom of Israel, in the kingdoms of Judah and Israel after they were divided, and upon the heathen, pagan kingdoms and empires. We can ignore all of that, but not with impunity. Oh, brother, that's all passed away. All of that legalism is from way back when. And God Almighty, who was so fearful and everything, we have Jesus. We love Jesus. We choose Jesus. He's so sweet and meek and mild. And we have grace. We are saved by grace, brother. Perfect love casteth out fear. There is therefore now no fear for those who are the chosen of God. We don't need to worry about those things. No. And Christians, true Christians, they aren't dour and sour and don't go about like they're sucking lemons. No, they are happy, happy, happy. They've never been so happy. They're jovial and jolly all the time. And they are just flourishing and thriving. Oh, brother, our pastors, oh, they're just so wonderful. So wonderful. You know, they just teach us such wonderful things. You know. But the prophecies that were given by the true prophets, not the false prophets that you find today with their personal prophecies, so-called, but the true prophets of God, when they gave prophecies, they were for a time, for a place, for a people, for a nation, for a kingdom, but they were also for time to come. And this kingdom that was divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Oh, brother, that has no application to today. Certainly not. Really. How about dear old Belshazzar? Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. That is the greatest of understatements that can be applied to the United States of America and Great Britain and Europe and the free world of today. The greatest of understatements. Thou art tried in the balances and art found wanting. And God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. God hath numbered not just the Babylonian, Chaldaic Empire, but the United States of America and Great Britain and Europe and the British Commonwealth. God hath numbered them and finished them. God hath weighed them in the balances and found them wanting, such that he hath numbered them and finished them. And he hath divided them and given them to whom? To the Medes and to the Persians. Darius was a godly king. Not always the wisest of the wise, as we find out, but he was a God-fearing king. The Persian kingdom, not exactly the creme de la creme. God Almighty allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the despot, tyrant, king, emperor, ruler of the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire, to destroy the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel, Jerusalem, and the chosen people of God. Oh, brother, that could never happen today. Because we are the apple of God's eye. Well, I've got news for you. We aren't the first apple of God's eye. Oh, but that prophecy, that has nothing to do with us, really. Au contraire. The fulfillment of God's prophecies is racing along. And I will continue again through the book of Daniel yet again. And the prophecies that God gave in the book of Daniel, and which dovetail with other prophecies, such as in Zechariah, and notably in the book of the Revelation of God the Father to God the Son, to his angel, to the beloved disciple, the Apostle John. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master, Savior, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth and word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever. In Jesus' holy name, soon coming, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.